Every single week, we're always so excited to be doing these shows. Love doing it. I am Mama Mac, along with my amazing co-host, Dr. Angel Falzone. The amazing Dr. Falzone, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and now doing a new venture that I want you to tell our audience about that's coming up right away. You're in the process of planning and putting it all together right now.
Yes, I am, and I'm opening a private practice.
Yes.
Serving children, teens, adults, families, and couples.
Yes,
right,
you
are.
Starting May 1st,
yes.
And the number is, if you want to call and find out about it or talk to her personally, her number is 727-501-6557. I'm going to give you that again, and so you can have time to grab a piece of paper, because you've spent a lot of time working with foster families, with parents, with problem teens. That's kind of been your area of expertise, right? Kids and family?
I do work a lot with children and families, and also with adults, and
okay.
Definitely in trauma. Trauma is definitely one of those areas that I work a lot with.
Trauma. Mm-hmm. Okay. So 727-501-6557 is Dr. Angel's office number, and you can call her and talk directly to her. And you're also in the process of setting up your insurance stuff, right?
Yes,
with
I am.
Different insurance agencies, mm-hmm. So you'll be able to take insurance at some point?
Yes.
Correct. Right. So that's what's going on with her. And we are 4.5 years into this show. Why are we doing this show, Dr. Angel, week after week?
We do this show to help our listeners learn to hit those home runs in life. You
right.
know, not just exist, but to live life and to live it well.
Well, and speaking of that, it was a week ago tonight that baseball season started again, Major League Baseball. And, of course, I'm an avid fan, and you are too. But I've been catching at least part of every game. And the Rays are like, they're doing great. They're like 4-1, you know?
Awesome.
I mean, really doing well. So, no, they're more than that. I have my numbers wrong, but still, they're doing very, very well. So, anyway, baseball fans, that's what we got to title this show. Go Yard means hitting a home run in life. Not striking out, but learning to make the most of the things that come at us in our life. Learning how to conquer obstacles. Learning how to deal with problems better. As a result of that, we have a website, GoYard2014. That's the year we began. GoYard2014.org. It's an ORG website. Go there and you're going to find titles to a whole lot of series over the last four plus years. All kinds of things, dealing with all kinds of problems.
Absolutely.
Right?
Great tools there for you. So you might not have heard of us, or maybe that show didn't mean something to you at the time because you weren't facing it, and today you are. So they're all tagged and titled and ready to for you to have a great tool when
you need it. Absolutely. So, yeah, all good. So last week we thought we were only going to do one show on mm-hmm. this title, When You're Stuck on a Plateau. But the problem is we have more to say than we thought we did.
We always do that.
I was going to say, that's not that unusual, right?
No. Well, you know what? It's because we really take our topics and we dive deep into them. You know, we're not
right.
just covering
exactly.
the surface. We really get down to the meat.
Yeah, and the goal is to give people practical insights and ways they can solve issues in their lives. And a lot of times our topic comes from things that are going on around us or stuff in the news or people that are dealing with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're current relevant topics is what I'm trying to get at,
yes,
right?
Yes, they are.
So does anybody ever get stuck in a rut?
I think we all get stuck in a rut from time to time.
Right. And we're not calling it a rut. We're calling it a plateau.
A plateau.
So explain what that means, Dr. Angel. What does a plateau mean to you? And why is this such a vital, important topic to so many people out there.
Well, a plateau is like when we've grown and then we just level off. We're doing everything that we were doing that helped us to grow, and then we don't feel like we're growing anymore. We just kind of are staying the same.
Right. So we've been really diligent about keeping a schedule and doing certain things. I'm thinking about weight loss or working out or things like that. And then suddenly we're doing those things, but nothing's changing. We don't feel like we're getting stronger, or we don't feel like we're losing any weight or whatever. That's a common plateau that people can relate to, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. The weight loss one is definitely one. That's usually when they quit, right?
Right.
You know, when they've been starving themselves and they've passed by the chocolate cake 3 or 4 times, and I've been the same weight for a month now.
So why not eat it?
I put on 3 pounds this week. How did that happen?
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. So we don't want to just talk about weight. We want to talk more about all these other issues that happen in our lives, and the fact that so often we come to a place emotionally where we feel like we're stuck on a plateau, that we are not handling life better. In fact, maybe we come to a point where we're realizing, you know what? I'm not handling life good at all. I have gone down from where I was, say, a year ago or 6 months ago, and I've got too many more crises, too many more problems going on in my life. I don't know what to do with them. You know, that's why this part two, because we got to this point last week where we felt like we weren't done really helping people come out of that stuck position.
You're right. Absolutely right. And, you know, I think we experience this in so many areas of our life, and sometimes we might even be on a plateau and we may not even be sure that's what that is. But usually those plateaus in our lives, if it's a relationship that we've been with somebody for a while and it grew, and now those great new feelings have worn off.
Sure.
But you don't seem to be making the next steps. That's a relationship plateau.
Right.
It happens in our careers all the time, where we've kind of risen to where we can be and now we're not where we want to be.
Right.
And we're just kind of staying the same. And then we're afraid of what are those steps going to be to make it different. And so we hit these areas so often, and it's frustrating.
Well, I was talking to someone yesterday who professionally has been going through times of feeling like he was at the top of where he could get to, you mm-hmm. know? And it's a frustrating place if you know there's no other place to go, no more new challenges, no new excitement, right, in a job or in a relationship or whatever. And so this takes work is what I really feel like we need to say. This is not something that just changes overnight because you want it to.
Correct. You know, lasting change takes time. And we've talked about that over and over and over. And these plateaus are what steals that change from us, because this is where we give up. This is where we quit trying.
All right.
Is on this plateau.
Okay. So let me ask your opinion on this, because a lot of people, I've heard it said for years, make a new habit, 21 days of doing something new. Is that correct?
You know, and that's what the research tells us. But honestly, some changes take longer than that for us.
Okay. Why?
Well, because it depends on how long we've had the behavior that we're wanting to change.
All right. Okay.
You know, something we've done for 20 or 30 years.
Sure.
21 days will give us a good start of a new pattern. But usually in that plateau, somewhere around the 90-day mark is when people
quit with that change.
And so just because you've reached this, you know, 21 days, it doesn't mean it's a permanent change. You still have to be working it.
Okay, so you can get to a place where you think, I'm on the 20th day. I shouldn't have to struggle with this anymore. But that's really not the case.
No, and sometimes it's something that we have to be purposeful on for quite a while to break those habits and to break the mindsets that came with those habits.
Talk about that mindset situation, because I think that is a lot bigger than most people think. It's the way we think. I saw something on Facebook yesterday. Somebody said, when the more you allow yourself to have negative thinking, the further down in your rut or your whatever, you're going to fall. And I thought, boy, that is so pertains to what we're talking about right now.
It sure does. And you're right. The thinking part of it is the most challenging parts to change.
Right.
But that's where the lasting change happens. So, like, if we could just change a habit in 21 days, well, anybody who walked into rehab would be cured in 21 days.
Well, this is true.
And this is
good
something
point.
That they might
good
struggle
point.
With.
Right.
Because it's more than just the behavior. It's more than just abstaining from a
behavior.
Ah,
that's a huge point right there. It's not just a behavioral change. It's an attitude mindset
and
change,
sometimes
right?
It's a change of your routine, your friends, all kinds of things we might have to change
especially
depending on what we're doing.
Especially when somebody's trying to drop a habit of drug addiction or alcoholism and that kind of thing. Research has shown going to meetings and changing the people you hang out with really helps, right?
Right, because the more we have that support behind us, the more likely to be successful. But if we struggled with addiction, seeing how we're talking about it, probably most of our friends have helped us, or we've, you know,
oh, that's been the fun thing they did together, right?
Exactly. And so they're going to want to draw us back in. And so we're going to have to be purposeful in changing who we're with. And that happens anywhere we're trying to have change. If you're, you know, you're a professional and you're like, I've been with this company for 13 years. They tell you 7 years you reach your max in a company. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's what the research shows.
And by max, what do you mean by that?
The max growth you're going to do with that company.
Oh, okay.
In 7 years. Usually in 7 years, you've played out your cycle.
But isn't that totally different than what our ancestors, even the generation right before us, my parents, your parents. I think your dad worked at the same company for a long time, right?
Yes.
My parents did. I mean, they were in the same line of work forever, even though they changed places, locale. They still did the same thing, pastoring, ministry work, things like that. But and my grandparents, my grandpa worked, you know, only two jobs his whole life, the bakery that he owned and then the factory for years and years and years and years, you know. So, I mean, I think it was back a few maybe two generations ago where it was very uncommon for people to change careers.
Correct. You know, you came out of college or trade school or, you know, high school. You found a job with a great company and you stayed there your 30, 40 years. You retired with them and you moved on, right?
You got your gold watch.
That is not how it happens today. In fact, we know that people change careers 2 to 3 times in their lifetime.
Oh, really?
Okay. And that's like career changes. That's not just...
Oh, that's not just from one company. That you're talking about an absolute career change.
Career change.
Wow, that's a great statistic to have.
It is. That's why we see this lifelong learning happening, people.
Well, okay, so that would go along with why people get to this place of being discontent, maybe, or to a place where they feel unfulfilled, or they feel like they can't grow anymore in this particular situation, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people, they just show up, especially in their jobs, they show up, they do their job, they go home, and it's paying the bills. They feel like it's, you know, the same thing over and over, but they're not getting where they want. This isn't really what they wanted to do. And so they're miserable in it.
Yeah. And they're not happy. So happiness then, the happiness factor, is an important thing to what you do every single day, 8 or 10 hours a day?
It's very important for us to feel contentment and satisfaction from what we do with our life, you know, how we make our livelihood. And so if we want to, if that's our plateau, you know, I've been with this company this long and I haven't been making growth. What can I do to help me get, what is my goal and where do I want to go? And so that's where we get off that plateau.
Well, some people are in a job where there is nowhere to go up any higher.
Correct.
Because the upper management's the owner of the company, for instance, or whatever the case may be. That's just an example. But, and when you get to that point where you know you're not going to ever have much of a salary increase or you're not going to, your job description's not going to change very much. I think a lot of people can get to a place where they feel discontent at that.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no new challenge. People love challenges, don't they?
They do, you know, and I heard a quote, when we stop growing, we start dying. And that happens in any area of our life. And so if we're not growing professionally, then we're losing ground.
Right.
And that doesn't feel very good. And so we hit these plateaus and then we get miserable and depressed and anxious and frustrated. And how do we get off?
Well, and I think a lot of times people will try to tell you, well, you can't do that big of a change. That's huge for you. Or that, why are you doing that? You're stepping out, you know, and taking a risk. Let's just use you as an example. Can I use you as an example? Because this is a huge change for you because you've always worked for a company.
Yes, I did. And I had that security of that salary. I knew my job. I did it well. I'd been with them 7 years. I've pretty much reached my growth maximum in the company, and I was miserable.
Wow.
I wasn't miserable. I worked in mental health there, but I was miserable because that wasn't what I wanted to do with my career.
Well, you weren't miserable with people you worked with.
Not at all. I love the people I worked with.
You love the people, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them listen to this show.
Yes,
so I want you to make sure and let them know that you love working with them. But it wasn't that, was it, for
not
you?
At all.
I remember you've talked to me about this for 2 years now. In fact, I reminded you the other day, one night we stood out here in the driveway of the radio station and we talked for quite a while and you bounced that off of me that is something you wanted to do someday. is have your own business.
Absolutely. I knew I wanted my own practice from when I was in school learning to be a therapist. Like, this has been something that I originally wanted to do, and then fell into the trap of agency work and the solid paycheck, and
which is all very attractive to a lot of people.
Absolutely. There's a security in there, right?
Of course there is.
But I wasn't doing what I was called to do, what I felt purpose in my heart
to
do.
Whoa. You said that called word.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people listening may say, what does that mean? You know, but for people of faith, which you are, which I am, people of faith, there is that calling or that thing that I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
Right? There is that path that's leading you, that God's leading you on. And you know you're headed that a certain direction and you want to get there. You want to arrive there.
Yes, absolutely, because that's where you know your purpose is for your life.
Right.
And so last year around this time, I really was ready to make that break in that venture and start private practice. And then life hit me with another curveball, because then I had to have massive surgery and then go on chemo for 6 months, and I lost all my energy. And
yes,
it really took
yes.
me, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, am I ever going to be able to realize this goal for myself? And then when I came off of the chemo, then I got a new perspective of it's time.
Right.
And if I don't make it happen now, it's never going to happen. So
right.
that now factor really hit me hard. And here I am today. We're launching May 1st with the building. And
yes.
it's awesome. I'm so excited.
Well, and now I'll bring me into it, because I don't know why we're doing this tonight. We certainly haven't planned this, audience. This is how our shows go usually, right?
No, but I think it helps people to know that we're not just talking about ideas, pie in the sky. Oh, I'm glad that works for some people, Dr. Angel, but what about the real life? But this is real. We live what we talk about.
We live what we talk about. And I've been in the ministry since I was 22 years old, on and off, along with real estate career for 28 years of that time, owning a Christian bookstore, pastoring, whatever. And I guess I'm to the point in life where some people would say, and we've had people say it to me, well, why are you working so hard in the ministry? You don't even, it's not a money-making proposition, which it's not, right?
True.
But really, it's a point of time in my life where, hey, I want a new challenge too. I want to see this ministry do what I've always known it could do, right?
Absolutely.
And that's where I am personally. And some people, I had a lady a couple years ago at a church dinner look across the table at me, and she said, now, what year are you going to retire? And I said, I'm not going to retire. Well, what do you mean? I'm going to retire next year, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to quit working. I said, well, it's not like that in the ministry or in real estate. These are careers you just keep on keeping on, right?
Yes.
And I love what I do on a daily basis in both of my careers. And so this new challenge that we are expanding the ministry and we are moving into a new day, and a new location with you.
Yes.
You are actually going to be in the front part of the building. The ministry will take the rest of it. It's a big day for both of us, right?
It sure is. It's a leap of faith.
It's a leap of faith.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't come without any criticism or any doubt, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because any change comes with the possibility of people saying, well, I don't know why you would be doing that, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. The number of people who thought I was absolutely crazy to leave that, you know, secure job position and go out on this limb. Wow.
Well, you were at a plateau.
Yes,
right. And this was the time to jump off of that. But then the critics will come. And I want to talk about this next, because so often when we are so close to making a major change in our lives, the critics will say, the critics around us, people that know us
and love us,
oh, why are you doing that? That seems so hard. Everything's fine the way it is right now, isn't it? Why would you change anything, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So now you can answer that, Dr. Angel.
Well,
I just
yes.
played devil's advocate.
You know, you're so talented. You could go to teach at the university if you
right.
want change.
And you did have that opportunity, by the way, a couple years ago, didn't you?
Yes, I did. But that wasn't where I was called to be, and I knew it. And
right.
so, you know, I always thank people for, you know, their opinions when they're close to me, and I appreciate their concern for me, and that's
sure.
where some of that's coming out of their own fear of,
so
am I going to make
just,
it?
You don't, when they comment like that, you don't bark back at them, do you?
No,
I've never heard you bark at anybody anyway. But well, I mean, you don't take it that way.
A lot of time our critics are really, it's an act, they think it's an act of love.
Right.
Because they're trying to save us from some pain or some failure or something that could go wrong or bad, right? But they didn't have the dream in them. So how can they?
How can they? Well, share and that? The other part of that is I think a lot of people are so afraid of change themselves.
Yes.
That when they see somebody like you that has just gone through all this cancer treatment and, I mean, chemo treatment and all of this, and a person like me who's a grandmother of 12 and et cetera, like, what are you guys doing? You know? And by the way, audience, we're going to be doing some really cool Go Yard seminars in our new building.
Yes.
At some point, which we're going to tell you all about. But right now, we got to get everything changed and moved and put together. And today's project is building a new bathroom. So
yes.
I've been really busy doing that today. Not me running the jackhammer, obviously, but me overseeing.
Coordinating
the new bathroom. But anyway, back to this. People, a lot of times they project. I mean, I know that that's a counseling term, and I know it's true. People project onto others what they are feeling within themselves, right?
Yes, they do.
And so they see you having recovered and going through all that you've gone through in the last year. Me, with everything where I got my hands in all kinds of stuff, right? Besides two shows a week, just everything else. And they say, why?
Yes, they do. They
say, why not stay on your plateau?
Yes, I've had many
right?
people try to
why
get me a new plateau.
Why not just stay right there?
Absolutely.
Because aren't you okay right there?
And, you know, that wasn't the dream. That wasn't what was put in. You know, that was not where I was called to be, and I knew it, and this is it. And has it come without obstacles? No, we've had our obstacles pursuing all of this. But, you know, one of the things I found that really helped me is I sat down and I mapped it out. And I wrote a very, very, very detailed plan of what this is going to look like. How is it going to work?
Sure.
What's the short-term goals, long-term goals? Like, I sat and my plan is probably about 40 pages long.
Right.
And that helped me to get more confidence in what I was doing.
That's great. And the plan, I want to talk about that in just a minute after we come back from break. But you know what? As you're sitting there thinking or talking and thinking, obviously, did you ever see Sound of Music?
I have not.
You've never seen Sound of Music? You are kidding me.
Nope.
Julie Andrews? No?
I did not see it.
Well, there's a famous song in there. Climb every mountain.
Okay.
And then it goes on. Ford every stream. You know, it's saying, don't stop. Don't stop. Climb every mountain, you know? And the mountains in our lives are there to show us, hey, there is something worth fighting here for, getting off this plateau. There's a mountain right there to climb,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
I'll probably be singing that all week, probably, because that just is now just really hitting me hard that that's what's happening in you and in our ministry and really in the show. We just keep on trucking along, you know, almost 5 years now.
Yes.
Because if the mountains are there, they're there for a reason. They're there to be looked at and stared at and be afraid of, or they're there to climb. So, you know, we got 5 more minutes till we get to break. So talk to me about that, because this is hard for, I forgot to turn my phone off. I will
Bad
do it
girl.
Right now. I know. I'm so sorry, audience. I forgot. So this is so hard for some people just to look at somebody who wants to climb mountains like you and like me and say, why are you doing that? Don't you just want more afternoons at home? Or, right?
Oh, yes. I've had so many, are you sure you should be doing this? But at the end of the day, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is where I need to go.
Right.
And, you know, so I've really worked on plugging my cheerleaders in for me. And I think that's really important.
Oh, I want you to talk about that.
Because, you know, the people we love, they're looking out for our best interests. And they just don't want to see us get hurt along
right.
the way or suffer along the way. And so we'll get some negativity from them. But it's really important that we have that positive input coming
yeah.
in, because if we get what we have more of is where what we believe more. So if we're hearing more negative, we're going to believe that more. And if we hear more positive, we're going to believe that more.
Okay. So the person who's listening right now and they are just about to jump off the cliff or climb a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're going to try something new, whatever area of their life that might be. And they're hearing all this negativity. What do they do about that, doctor?
Well, what first you have to do is know what you're trying to do, and then go find someone who's done it and talk to them. talk to them. You know, those mentors are so important. You know, I joined a we've talked about this for weeks. I joined a business group, and every week I sit there for about with about 55 business owners who are successful. Like, that is so much positive energy coming into me every week. That, yes, I got this. And, you know, they're talking to me about my plan. And, oh, wait, you could try this. This might help you. Thank you.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's been very positive experience for me. A very scary experience to, you know, get off that plateau and go for it. And at the end of the day, there are so many cheerleaders. You just have to go plug yourself in with them.
It's really cool to hook up with the cheerleaders, right?
Yes.
My daughter was a cheerleader in junior high and high school, okay? And my little great-granddaughters now, the twins, they're doing cheerleading for these little kids' games. Crack me up, okay? But they love it, you know, and they can do the little, you know, and they do put their pom-poms and all that. And for kids out there playing a game, they love to have cheerleaders out there on the sideline. A lot, the boys, let's say they're boys basketball, high school boys basketball, right? They love having 12 girls on the side cheering for them and yelling for them. But that's so like us. We love to have cheerleaders on the side saying, hey, good job. You're doing great. I'm proud of you. And by the way, Dr. Angel, I am proud of you because this is huge for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
And you have undergone an awful lot, and you have gone through a lot in the last year. And yet, look at you. You just keep ticking.
Keep ticking and moving forward. And I'm so excited to walk into this next step.
Like, I am too.
So excited. This next month, it's funny. There's so much still to do, but there's so much excitement brewing in here. And I'm really excited to have walked into this leap of faith.
Oh, absolutely. And you're going to be training some counselors. You're going to be doing some state of Florida work.
Yes.
You're going to be doing a lot of different things. You're going to have your hands in a lot of things. Plus, we're going to have church and Bible study and groups and go yard groups and all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely.
And small groups.
The great thing is it freed my time that I get to make my schedule now.
Yes.
And I can fit in all the things I want to do for people, to help people live the best life they can live.
Amen. And we've got a beautiful location, and God made all that come together. And so we're busy remodeling and painting and doing all kinds of stuff right now. But it's so much fun to be on the edge of a new adventure.
It is.
And I'd like to communicate that to our audience in some way today in this show, because we didn't intend to talk about this.
Not at all.
No, not at all.
Not at all what our notes said.
We have no notes, really. But just to get that excitement and to visualize, I guess, visualize your life differently, audience member, in whatever area is your
plateau.
Dream.
Right. Where are you?
Where
at?
Do you want to go? What do you see yourself? Bucket list type thing, you know, although we're not talking about dying, we're talking about living, really.
Yes.
Living life to its fullest.
Absolutely, living life to its fullest. And, you know, we can sit there and want to do it, and never do it, and then we'll live with regret.
Okay, we're going to give our audience some tips on how to do this in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
All right. Welcome back to the second half of Go Yard. And we are having a very interesting discussion tonight with Dr. Angel. Kind of not what we expected. A little different than what we thought it would be. But we're really wanting to help our audience have a vision of what their life could look like, right?
Absolutely.
Come off of a plateau, dream big. What does that mean? And for somebody out there that goes, well, I'm in a dead-end job. I'm never going to be any different than I am. I'm never going to make any more money than I am, maybe $1,000 more a year, something like that. What's your advice to them?
Well, you know, if you can dream it, you can do it.
Okay.
You know, and one of the things that was so funny, because when I walked into 2019, I didn't really realize this year was going to be the year of all this change. And I sat down and I made my journal for the year like I do every year, my calendar for the year. And every week I put an inspiring quote. And I'm going to tell you what, those have been my cheerleaders as I walk into each week. I write them on my bulletin board in my home office. Every week I have an inspiring quote.
Wow. Where do you find these? So to help our audience find them.
Google inspiring quotes, making change, you know, you can do it kind of quotes.
So you put it up on a board and you look at it?
Oh, absolutely. I look at it every week.
I'm seeing it now. She's pulling out her journal, folks. You can't see us, but she's showing me this amazing. And you need to see this journal. It's pretty crazy. But look at that. How detailed and planned that is.
Yes, it is.
So why are you such a planner, and would you recommend that to the average person out there who's kind of stuck, not knowing what they're doing,
Absolutely.
Where they're going?
Planning and research is a key to all of this.
You are a researcher.
I am a researcher, but you know, especially when you're starting a new adventure, you need to know what the steps it's going to take to get there. Is this something I need to go back to school for, if it's a profession change, or do I need to hook up with different kinds of people or network in a different area? What do I need to do? Who are my customers or clients or whatever you're looking for? You have to do some research behind that. If you're in a relationship and you just don't feel like it's growing, then you need to look at, well, what does a good relationship look like? What do I want? So that's that research. Sometimes it's inside of us. Sometimes it's inside of Google.
Right.
This week's quote.
Inside of Google. All
inside
right.
of Google. This week's quote
the Google
is
machine.
I have a quote from Dale Carnegie for this week.
Ha.
Most of the important things in the world have been accomplished by people who have kept on trying where there seemed to be no hope at all.
Whoa, that is so true, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We mentioned last week about Thomas Edison.
Yes, we did.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Nan called in last week and gave us the exact number of times that he tried to invent the light bulb and failed.
Yes.
1,000.
1,000.
Yeah. I don't know if he succeeded on 1,001 or if it was 1,000 exactly, but that's a huge number. And how does that apply to people out there who have tried to get out from the security of a certain type of job and then go try something else and then they just didn't work out for them?
Well, and most people, what happens is as soon as they hit those first obstacles or those first bumps in the road, oh, I shouldn't have done this. This is a sign that I'm making a mistake.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, no matter what we're doing, especially when we're growing, there's going to be obstacles. That's not your sign that you shouldn't be doing this. It is, how do I work through this obstacle?
But the obstacle is there for us to grow by it, right?
Yes.
You have to look at the opportunity that is within the obstacle, right?
Every obstacle has an opportunity.
It does, right? Mm-hmm. Every obstacle has an opportunity, but a lot of people don't see that. Can you explain that concept?
Well, it has an opportunity. Maybe to work through this obstacle, we need to make a different connection with people or join a different group or learn something different. But that's a growth opportunity for us.
New skill.
A new skill, something. Maybe we're, you know, if it's a relationship, maybe we're going to find a new place to go meet friends. And so working through our obstacles opens us up to that growth that we need to make to get where we're trying to go.
Conversely, if you take your obstacle and let it defeat you and say to you, you're never going to be any different. You're never going to succeed. You are stuck in this dead-end job. You're stuck in this awful marriage, whatever. If you never venture out, for instance, a bad marriage, mm-hmm. get some counseling.
Absolutely.
Because who knows, you may find some things to really help you improve that relationship, and it might get better and better and better.
And you
Instead
never know
of getting
if you're
worse
not
and worse
trying.
And worse.
Right. You know, what happens is so many people, and I hear this in the counseling room so often, is that they're stuck and they just don't want to put in the work that it takes to get unstuck.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about that.
Okay.
Not wanting to do the work. Why is that? And is that why a lot of people are on a plateau?
I think a lot of people are on that plateau because, A, they're afraid of what it looks like to come off of it because there's a security in a plateau. You know it. You know, it's better than the devil you know than the devil you don't know, people go around thinking. But that's not true because if you're miserable, you're just going to get more miserable and more depressed as you stay on your plateau.
Sure, sure.
And a lot of times people are staying on it because they don't know how to get off of it. They don't even have a clue. So how do I, what steps do I need to take? And so they're not sure. And then sometimes people aren't wanting to put in that kind of, you don't understand. I'm already tired. I'm already exhausted. And you want me to do this?
You want me to do something different, right? So don't you think a lot of it starts with a dream, a passion, a desire to do, be whatever, different, something different. Whereas a lot of people get stuck saying, okay, I'm just going to stay the same.
Yes, they do. And, you know, we have to not only have the desire and the dream to do different or be different or have different no matter where we're stuck in our plateau, but then we need to find out what does that different look like? Okay. What are we striving for?
All right, then let's go back to your word research. Why is research so important when you're talking about getting unstuck from a plateau?
Well, because then we can find out what's out there, who's done this successfully, how did they do it. It'll help us start learning the steps we need to take as we research. A good example was I was a very young mom at 21 years old in my generation, and I had no idea what a good mom looked like.
Okay.
And so I wanted to be a good mom for my kids. Like, that was something that I had stuck on. I want to be that good mom. And research was, I picked up every book on parenting, every magazine I could get. I sat in the library the whole time I was pregnant, just reading and reading and reading. And for years after the kids were born, just to figure out, what does a good mom do and how does that happen? And I became, you know, learned
to step
myself into a good mom.
Yeah, your three sons would say that.
That was my research. I could have sat on the excuse that, oh, well, you know, my family life was dysfunctional. That's all I know. That's all it's ever going to be.
But that's what a lot of people use when it comes to parenting. I just grew up like this. My mom did it this way. I'm doing it this way. I've heard that so many times with counseling people.
Oh, yes. But you can take that same experience and resolve, I didn't like that environment growing up, and I don't want that for my children.
Exactly.
And I'm going to do it different.
Yes.
Did I make mistakes? Yes, I made a lot of mistakes.
Oh, everybody does.
We all do. It's learning as we're growing.
Sure.
And no matter where we're growing, we're going to make mistakes. But mistakes aren't failure. They're learning and growing opportunities.
Yeah, they are not failure. No. It is sad, though, that so many people are content, I guess. Are they really content? I don't know. Maybe content's not the right word. They just stay in those situations, whatever they might be, work, personal, whatever, because of fear.
Yes, fear is a big player.
We talked about fear of failure last week, and I think that we need to readdress that.
Yes, we do.
Go ahead.
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, that fear of failure, it hits our ego. It makes us feel like we're less than or we're not enough if we fail, and that's not true. Failure is growth opportunities. Failure is a way for me to figure out the problem and work through the problem.
Right.
And no one's going to do everything perfect the first time unless you're a super amazing human being, which I've not met any of those. Failure is a part of growing, and you can't grow without it. I mean, think of the baby learning to walk. How many times do they plop on the ground?
I think I mentioned it last week. Joel Chase, my grandson, he last year, oh my gosh, he fell so much, you know, but boom, pretty soon he's up and he's running.
Right, and his parents weren't standing over him. Like, oh, look at you. Now you failed. You can't walk. You'll never walk. No, they were cheering and encouraging. Let's try it again. Let's try it again, right? And
that's
true. We need to continue that as an adult. So often we hit this thing we think is failure, and they're like, that's it. I knew I shouldn't have done this. This was the wrong decision for me.
And back to this point that you've made a couple times, I think it's excellent. Who you surround yourself with is going to make a big difference on whether or not you get up from that fall and keep on going. Speaking of Joel Chase, because you know him,
yes.
He just turned 20 months old, right? He can walk and does it and runs part of the way 2.5 miles at a time now.
Wow.
He loves to get out in that Texas area where they live and just walk and walk. And it takes my kid's time, I mean, just catching him, you know, because he takes off. He's gone, you know, he runs. And so, I mean, he figured out that, you know, being a baby just sitting on the floor and playing with toys was nothing compared to what it's like when he got, of course, his dad's a runner, too. So when he's out running in the wide open spaces of Texas, he loves that, right? So I guess what I'm trying to say is so often we don't know what we're missing till we try.
Exactly.
Right?
We do not know what we're missing until we try. And then we need to surround ourselves with people who give us honest, open feedback.
Right.
And that's really important because we are going to make mistakes. So many times when I was putting my plan together, you know, I thought, oh, this is the perfect plan. And then I would share my plan and someone was like, oh, did you consider, you know what? I didn't. And that could actually be a problem down the road. So as I was getting that feedback, I considered that feedback. But so often we're like, what do you mean you're saying that? You don't think it's, you know, we take it personally.
Right.
Instead of looking at it to see, could this help me on my journey?
Okay, so that brings me to this point that I wanted to make next with you was constructive criticism. And we touched on it just briefly last week, but so many people have a hard time with that. Again, would you define it and tell us why that's important?
Absolutely. So constructive criticism is the process of offering valid and well-reasoned opinions to help the person grow or improve.
Okay.
It's to help them grow.
Exactly. And sometimes there is a better way to do something. For instance, a few days ago, I thought I had picked out a nice bathroom vanity and the price was decent and I texted it to you and sent you a picture. Pretty soon you go, I found this one, which was nicer, for half of that price. Oh, I stand corrected. Or I could have said, no, Angel, because I picked this one out. But I didn't. I go, oh, yay, that's great. I love it, right?
Yes.
So it's how we receive that difference of opinion. Or when we have said, look at this, I found this, and somebody comes up with something better. What is wrong with that? But a lot of people struggle with it.
They do because they take it and as being negative. You're hitting my ego. You don't think my plan's good enough.
Right.
And we need that constructive criticism.
So you can apologize to me anytime for having found a better deal on a bathroom vanity.
Of course.
No.
No, but that constructive criticism is important, especially when it's from people who have the experience that we don't have.
Right,
or,
yeah, yes.
You know, they have a recipe.
Yeah.
You know, when we go to make Christmas cookies, we're all going, you know, to get our recipe books out or to find a recipe online. We're not just throwing ingredients and hoping this turns into good cookies. Most people aren't doing that, right?
Right.
So that's what constructive criticism is, going to someone who might see a different angle that we were blindsided by.
Sure.
Or
yeah.
They're willing to be open and honest. And those are the most pure relationships. We need these open, honest relationships.
Yeah. We need them. We need the We need the input. We need to be challenged to think outside of the box, especially if you are contemplating divorce, let's say. And there's a lot of things to think about when you're talking about divorce. And I challenge people out there, if you're thinking about that right now, you need to get some therapy. You need to get some help. Don't just rush into something you might regret. Not that you may not end up divorced. You might. But get some... Slow down.
Yes.
Slow down.
So often the emotions take over with those types of decisions, and now we're just doing these things out of anger, and we're not doing what's in the best interest of ourselves or our children or whatever the situation is.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to say, anytime we're on a plateau and we're really trying to get off, we need help doing it. If it's help through a mentor, if it's help through somebody who's, you know, achieved part of where we're trying to go.
Exactly.
That's the help. They have a recipe book. They're holding the recipe going, I have it.
And that's how this ties back to constructive criticism, right?
Yes.
Because truth therapy allows you to say what you're feeling and have a therapist say, have you thought about this angle to that? Or what this could do? Or how are you going to handle that, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's what you're getting is, you know, this objective person who's not tied into whatever you're in emotionally. And they have nothing to lose but to look for what are your potential obstacles? What are your strengths? You know, what could you need along the way? Because that's what we need to help us to be successful on whatever it is we're trying to do. If it's find a good, healthy relationship mate for our life, to parenting our kids, to changing our career, whatever it is that we're plateauing on. We need to find those people.
We need to find those people. And when it comes to a lot of times rushing into career changes, slow down. Take slow your time. Down. Do your research. I heard somebody say last week, the best time to find a job is when you still have one.
Yes.
Yet, I know there's a lot of people, and I've known some of them through the years, well, especially young kids. Well, I didn't like that job, so I quit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you going to pay next week's bills? Well, I just didn't like it. And then they start telling you all the awful things about that job, right?
Yes. I had a child who did this. And it took him 5 months to find another job.
I had a grandchild who did this. So I totally get this. And I think it's a common problem in a lot of people.
It is.
Even adults, not just kids.
Yes, it is. Yes, very
It took
much.
Him 5 months to get a job.
Yes, it did. And yeah, he had to learn some very hard lessons along the way when he did not have gas money and any of those other things that he needed because he emotionally walked out of a job.
Because he was mad.
Because he was mad.
And so I think that a lot of times we do that in life. When we are on a plateau,
mm-hmm.
I want you to kind of summarize this. Man, this show didn't go anywhere the way I thought it was going. Dr. Angel, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it when we just shoot from the hip like this. Wing it, as we call it.
Yes.
Let's wing that show, which is what we did. But when we are at that place where something needs to change, whether it's a personal relationship, whether it's a job, whether it's whatever it might be, we just know something needs to change. Maybe it's a habit you got to get rid of, whatever it is. And when we let fear or let other people's negativity or let just, I don't want to try anything new or whatever else you might add to that list, be the voices we listen to, we're in trouble.
Yes, we are. You know, we can be our own worst enemy because, you know, that fear lives inside our head 24/7. And
right.
So, you know, we have to be prepared to handle that, you know, with what can encourage me along the way.
Right.
You know, and so you know you.
Yeah.
And you know what helps to feed you. You know, for me, it's been quotes, and I share that I use a lot of quotes. Making the vision board was a part of my journey of this is where I'm visioning my life to be. And
I used to do that with real estate, years ago.
And those are the things that
board.
Help us
to explain a vision board for
people. You know, it's a great tool. A vision board. I did it with magazines, and I took and cut out
too.
Pictures or words that represented where I was trying to get to personally, professionally, like all areas of my life.
Right.
And I kept it where I could see it all the time, refrigerator, you know, every time I go to the refrigerator, there's my vision board.
Right.
You know, and in the beginning, my vision board had, you know, I didn't only had my bachelor's degrees when I started this, you know, and
You only had your two bachelor's degrees.
That's all I had.
You didn't have your two master's degrees or your PhD or your LMHS. You
no,
didn't have any of that.
But I had the picture of the doctorate graduation on there.
Oh, did you? Okay.
The book published, like all these things that I want to do with my life.
Right.
And so that inspires us. You are. I know.
Got
to give me a hard time. But that inspires us. It helps to encourage us. And really learning that we have to be patient with ourselves.
Yes, yes.
We need to let our ego go.
Right.
Step it aside and be very patient. Be good to you. So take those breaks for yourself. Feed yourself in ways that feed you. Plug in with good people that will support you and help give you constructive criticism. Be willing to accept that criticism.
And not be so prideful. And that's kind of where we ended last week's show, talking about pride versus humility.
Mm-hmm.
Not be so prideful that you can't accept some constructive help.
Absolutely, because when we think we're as best as we can be and nobody can give us any feedback, we are ready to fall.
Pride comes before fall.
It sure does. And so, you know, no matter, you're teasing me about my degrees, but that's been something that's helped me grow through the years is that I am always been willing to accept feedback and constructive. I didn't look at somebody and say, well, I have a doctorate and you have a high school diploma. How dare you? No, if they had something I could value from, I don't care where it's coming from.
Right.
Sometimes my 8-year-old kid gave me some wisdom that I needed to see from a different perspective. So we can't let ourselves think we're too important to take feedback because we're not.
And that's the humility piece of it.
Yes.
So we just talked ourselves right around to the first point.
Yes, we did.
And being humble means teachable.
Yes. Yes. You know, it's funny because when I used to hire a therapist, that was the number one quality I looked in for new therapists.
Are they teachable?
Are they teachable?
Because so many people, they come across as, well, you can't tell me. I already know how to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to get you nowhere.
It is not, because
very fast.
Nobody knows everything, and no. We all need to learn and grow. And so just being willing to learn and grow. You know, when someone gives you a feedback, maybe you're not ready in the moment to take it, write it down. When you have cooled your emotions, go look at that and say, is there something in here I could benefit from?
Right.
And if there is, use it, apply it.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, and that takes, it takes humility. It takes thinking outside the box to realize there might be a better way of doing something than what you thought,
mm-hmm.
right? It's really very important that when you are on this kind of stuck place or plateau place, that you don't let pride take over and like, well, nobody's going to tell me how to, you know, what, how to change my life, you know, blah, blah.
Oh, yes. And we have definitely, we got to kill that little pride part of ourselves that we think we're better than everyone else or whatever, because we're not. And right. We all need to learn and grow. Like, there's no arriving at this learning and growing stage of our life. We're learning and growing till the day we
die.
But
isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Because, I mean, we wouldn't even be doing this new venture with this new location and everything coming up. And we'll tell you, audience, more about that as we get closer to it. But we wouldn't even be doing this if we were just content to stay in the same place we've always been.
Absolutely. It was that drive to know I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And, you know, the ministry wasn't where it was supposed to be. That, okay, it's time.
It's time to do something different. Yeah.
And, you know, and this, I mean, from January, I mean, I've been working on this goal for a while. We've talked about it for years, as you mentioned earlier. But that's the thing. You have to give yourself time. There's nothing changeable that really happens overnight.
No.
You know, so give yourself time. Research, plan, think it through constructively, but have time. Do things in little steps.
Rushing a lot of times causes tremendous problems on down the road.
Yes,
right?
It does. You know, and then it causes us to have to go back and fix what we've rushed in. And we get, and then we can do that. But if we just take the time to plan it and think it through as we're doing it.
How many people have you known, because I've known a ton, that these pyramid scheme mm-hmm. businesses, they are very usually marketed to young people, 18 to 30, let's say,
mm-hmm.
Who've never been a part of a Ponzi scheme. I don't think that's not really the word for it, but a pyramid scheme, right? Mm-hmm. Because I've been Herbalife, I've been Amway, I've been a couple others, okay, in young years. And a couple of years ago, my granddaughter said, oh, we're talking to this guy about doing this private business. I said, well, is it this? Well, yeah. I said, okay, so this is how these work, you know. But be willing to listen to somebody a little older than you, perhaps, who's already gone through different, you know, pyramid-type businesses. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, they do. They promise to, you know, get rich, less
hell,
work.
You're going
to
be making $5,000 a month.
You can be on the beach in, you know, St. Lucia, and now your pay is still coming in. And, you know, if things sound too good to be true, they're
they
usually
are.
Too good to be true. And, you know, and sometimes people have to learn through experience and make their failures and realize
right.
It wasn't for them.
Exactly, yeah. But I guess, to sum all this up, it's so important that we don't stay on the plateau when we're there.
Yes.
And that we realize there's help out there for us. It may be a mentor. It may be journaling. It may be
researching.
Yeah, researching. It may be joining a fitness club. It may be all kinds of different things that you think, oh, I could do that, you know? And
exactly.
See what happens,
so
you know?
Don't sit still. Keep moving. That's the thing. If you keep moving, you will get off that plateau eventually.
You will, yeah. Yeah, you can't sit still. You
nope.
Can't be stuck. Because when you're stuck, then, you know, the negativity piles up, right?
Yes, it does.
So sum anything up you want to, Dr. Falzoni, our resident expert.
Well, summing it up, let's just get off our plateau. Let's be willing to take that feedback, that constructive criticism, and dare to dream. Where are you supposed to go? And
right.
Start heading that way.
Start heading that way. All right. This has been two parts of It's getting stuck on a plateau. We'll probably do something new next week. And this has been, who are you anyway?
Dr. Angel.
Oh, yeah, that's who you are. And I'm Mama Mac, and this is Go Yard, and we love doing this show, and we'll see you next week.
Good
Have
night.
A great week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.